Ladies and gentlemen, Roto Grinders, welcome back to the Blitz Week 3. My name is Alex Dunlap. You can find me on Twitter at RosterWatch. Hear me on SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio. And find all my content over at RosterWatch.com. Joined by the, not the namesake, I always want to say that, but the creator, the curator, the purveyor, the provider of the Blitz projection system for NFL DFS and the Bat projection system for MLB DFS. He is Derek Cardy. You can find him on Twitter at Derek Cardy. And also joining us, the Chief, Will Priester, at ChiefJustice06 on Twitter. You can find his content all over the Roto Grinder streets through all the various sports. And believe it or not, not the big loser last week in our four-man, despite being handed a quarterback that he didn't want. That award goes to one Mr. Derek Cardy, who apparently had a much better week on DraftKings than he did on FanDuel. Speaking of last week, Cardy, let's just parlay it into this week. Let's pretend that Chris Herndon walks up to you on the street there in New Jersey and says, "Cardy, I screwed you last week. I did it on purpose. Everybody was hurt. It didn't matter. I didn't want you to win the four man. But how do I win a DFS this week? What are you going to tell him?"
First, I'm going to be the one to punch him in the face, because most weeks someone walks up to me, they kick me in the nuts, they cough in my face, they do something, and they ask for fantasy advice, which is a weird way to go about it. But if the guy that screwed me over last week comes up to me, I don't even know what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell him, look, you were a great play last week. You're probably going to be a great play this week, and no one's going to play you. So maybe do something this week, and that's how you'll win. It's a good week actually for DFS. Like, there's almost too many good plays. Like, we had week one and there were basically no running backs we wanted to play. This week there's legitimately like 7 cash game viable running backs. There's several good wide receivers. There's a few good tight ends. It's a good week. I'm legitimately looking at like 5 for 5 swaps in cash games that are like just as good as each other. Like, it's that kind of week. So there's a lot to get into, I think.
Chief, what about you, brother? If we're talking about this slate, 10,000 foot view, we know that Cardi's more of the cash game mind. This show going out on YouTube this week. So we probably are going to have some new viewers and some new listeners since it is free. Of course, everybody can find Cardi's Blitz system over on rotogrinders.com. You can pull that into Lineup HQ. Super, super easy to do. We always start out, though, with our kind of general overall views on the slate. So Cardi's given his. Chief, let's hear about you and the people will keep in mind that you're more of a tournament player.
Yeah, I think, you know, for this week, when I look at this slate, I feel like the slate is backloaded heavily with quarterback. When I pull this slate up, when I look at the
what does that mean? What does that mean, backloaded heavily?
That means I feel like most of your quarterback production is going to come from the 4 o'clock games, not the 1 o'clock games. That's my, and there are a few in that 1 o'clock area. And by a few, I mean maybe one or two that I feel like you may want to get some exposure. I think most of the quarterback performances that you're going to want are going to be in this 4 o'clock area. And we'll get to that. But I mean, there are a superfluous number of players in this 4 o'clock area at the quarterback position that I think you're going to want to get your hands on, which is going to lead to some, dare I say, facade scoring in the early games, because people are going to feel really good about their lineups until these 4 o'clock games kick off.
Is it a good week? Is it a fun week? Is it a good week for tournaments? I know you thought it was a good week for tournaments last week. Do you think it's a good week for tournaments this week?
I think it's a good week for tournaments every week.
We only have so many of them, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think it's always a good week. There's always some leverage, especially, you know, as we take a look at ownership a little bit later, which I know we're going to look at, you know, what the Blitz has to say. I like a few things in the Blitz this week that, even though it's for cash, I still think it's going to benefit us for tournaments. But, you know, there's always going to be some ownership that's really concentrated that we can leverage and parlay into some other players that on another week would have much higher ownership.
Well, everybody knows that the Blitz is Cardi's very profitable projection system. And since we're going out on YouTube, just a reminder to you guys, if you could like, subscribe, everything here on the channel, we certainly appreciate that. Any comments, thumbs up, I don't know, all the YouTube stuff, ring the bell so you're alerted for notifications when stuff comes on. And just another quick pitch, just like as long as we're going out to everybody here, you guys should really look into the Blitz. It just all what you do is you go to rotogrinders.com, look for the picture of Cardi, look for his nicely manicured hair. Cardi, do you get your hair cut during the pandemic, or like do you do it yourself? How did you manage to keep your hair looking nice?
Yeah, I hadn't cut my hair since February up until about 2 weeks ago, and then I finally caved and I've gotten one haircut because the numbers were down, and you know, I needed to do it. It was getting out of control.
You live up there in New Jersey, man. I guess probably it might be a little, down here in Texas. It's like the Wild West, man. You go get your haircut back in May if you wanted to. But anyway, so just look for Cardi's beautiful hair. Look for his photo. It says The Blitz. Click on it. You can purchase it there. You can bring it into Lineup HQ. You can optimize lineups using it. And it's been a super, super powerful tool, not only this year, but in previous years. And so we're going to be moving on to week 3, because look, guys, last week is in the books. Now it's time to review the tape and prepare for this week. Now, there's no better place to get in on all the action than with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. To add to this week's excitement, DraftKings has a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes up for grabs. And if you haven't tried DraftKings yet, head to the App Store now, because you do not want to miss this. Draft your lineup and feel the sweat like never before. Every run, pass, catch, it means more with DraftKings. It's simple. Just pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Nothing adds to the excitement of watching the game quite like having $1 million of prizes at stake. DraftKings has paid out billions of dollars to winners since 2012, so they know a thing or two about cold, hard cash. Download the DraftKings app now and use promo code DFF, Delta, Foxtrot, Foxtrot. For a limited time, new users can get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes this week. Don't miss out on the week 3 action. Enter code DFF to get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes with your first deposit. That's code DFF only at DraftKings. Make it rain. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Okay, boys. We got all of our topics to get to. For everybody who hasn't been on here, we go quarterback, we go running back, we go wide receiver, we go tight end. We will then have our Blitz survey question. We will then pick the quarterback that the big loser will use against us as his conviction play. Or we will use the quarterback that we will have the loser use against us in the four-man, and then we'll get our four-man conviction plays, our favorite plays of the slate that we guarantee each other we will be using against one another in the four-man. All right, that's a lot of stuff, boys. Let's get to the plays, man. Let's start out at the quarterback spot. We have here at the very top, it looks like what's going to happen is that Cardi, can we just start with you? Is the Blitz just auto putting in Kyler Murray, and that's just kind of what's happening?
Yeah, Kyler Murray is the only cash game play this week. Don't play anyone else at quarterback in cash games. In GPPs, you can certainly do a lot of different things. But in cash, it's Murray. He projects as the number one quarterback on the slate in terms of raw points by like 2 points. He projects as the top point per dollar quarterback on the slate by like half a point per dollar. It's just clearly Kyler Murray. Like, the team total is enormous. It's over 30. I think it's the highest team total they've ever had. They're the most pass-heavy team in football, one of the most fast-paced offenses in football. There's just, you know, he can score points with his legs. There's just no reason to play anyone else. And I know some people are going to say, well, what about Russ? Like, Russ has a high team total. Russ is really good too. Don't play Russ in cash games. Play Kyler Murray. For one thing, Russ is more expensive. For another thing, there's more uncertainty, I think, with what the Seahawks are actually going to do. Like, everyone is like, let Russ cook. And, oh, the Seahawks are letting Russ cook this year. And, yeah, sort of, but I think it's potentially more overblown and has more uncertainty than people want to believe it does. Like, in week 1, they went super pass heavy and everyone freaked out. In week 2, they were back on the running side of things. And so this is a team that historically has loved to run the ball. It's not like they've come out and said, we're just going to let Russ throw a bunch this year. Like, that didn't happen. It's just been speculation. And so especially as, you know, like a 6-point favorite or whatever they are, if they wind up with a lead, you know, a 6-point or a touchdown lead or a touchdown and a half lead or 2-touchdown lead, are they really going to keep letting Russ throw the ball, or are they going to lean back on what is familiar to them and run the ball and try to run the clock out and win the game that way? And so I like Russ. I think he's awesome. But for the extra price and with the extra uncertainty, it's just entirely unnecessary because, like I said, the Cardinals are the most pass-heavy team in football. Even if we think the Seahawks are going to become more pass-heavy this year, they're still not the Cardinals in that regard.
Chief, you mentioned that it was, I think you said, a backloaded slate with these afternoon guys. As I look at the afternoon games, for one, man, thank God the NFL finally gave us 5 games in the afternoon. How cockamamie has this jump been with only 3 games? With so much action at the beginning, and then, you know, even if you're watching Red Zone or something, you still have some times when Hanson's got to hop on there because there's commercials across all 3 games. Whenever it's 5 games, we'll probably have action all through the afternoon, commercial free. But as I look at these, I mean, I guess I see what you mean, because the Dallas-Seattle game and then the Detroit-Arizona game, I've heard people talk about all 4 of those quarterbacks: Matt Stafford, Kyler Murray, of course, Dak Prescott, of course, Russell Wilson. But are there any others in the afternoon, or did you mainly mean those 4?
Man, I think you need to get some Justin Herbert this week.
What? Okay,
that's a hot
hear about it.
Listen, Carolina's my team and all, but listen, they're
bad.
They can't stop a nosebleed. You know, we've got, you know, Tom Brady out here, which, you know, we got ran up on at the end of the game by Leonard Fournette, but, you know, they were moving the ball at will. You know, we saw what Mike Evans was able to do with, you know, very little help in the passing game. You know, I looked at some numbers on between, you know, last week with Herbert, Hunter Henry, and Keenan Allen, just blew me through the water. I think, you know, and I think Herbert's going to be up there by the end of the day. And, you know, he's got some ability to kind of scamper a little bit if he gets in trouble. We know that he's a younger quarterback, so the progression of his reads, I think he's going to be fine. But, you know, when you're young, you look at Kyler Murray last year, doesn't have the same impact as he did this year. The read progressions will be a little bit slower, I think. For that reason, you know, I think we're going to get, you know, Herbert running just a tad. I'm not saying 10 or 15 times, but a few scampers for some yards. And I think this is a great week to load up on this Chargers passing attack. Justin Herbert's going to be in my tournament pool for sure.
Well, here's the thing. It sounds cockamamie to you guys, which is probably the first time you've heard anybody mention Justin Herbert. But what if I told you that last week it seemed very cockamamie to us that Chief said that his top play across the whole slate was Stephon Diggs? It sounds perfectly normal now after Stephon Diggs went out and did what he did last week.
Well listen, like, Herbert isn't even my top quarterback on the slate, but I'm saying from the afternoon games, he's one of my favorites.
Oh, right. But I'm just saying, Chief has sharp takes about these guys that other people aren't necessarily on. So take that for what it could be worth. Anybody speaking of Diggs, anybody on Josh Allen this week? It seems like the matchup is finally a lot harder. I mean, he did what he's been able to do. Who has he played? He played the Dolphins, and before that was at the Jets. So he's played 2 bad teams. Now he gets the Rams, who've actually, man, those guys have gotten coached up. They're playing really, really well on the defensive side of the football, despite some losses at the linebacker position. Are you guys still on Josh Allen, or is it just, I mean, for $100 less, it's Kyler Murray? I think I know your answer, Cardi, but what about you, Chief? Any interest in Josh Allen? I mean, he's been just – purely awesome so far.
Yeah, well, you know, a lot of that is, if you look at it, the first game he did have, you know, more rushing yards than a rushing touchdown against the Jets. Last week he pretty much got it done through the air, which was my expectation against the Dolphins. This week I think it's going to be more of a combination of both. I don't think he gets past 280 yards passing this week. And I haven't even looked at any props on Allen, but I don't see Allen having any props over 300 yards against the Rams. I just don't see how that's going to come together. So, and I actually think he gets more so around 250, 240 through the air, and maybe about 40 or 50 on the ground, yeah, which means he's going to have to be incredibly efficient. Like, he's going to have to at least get a rushing touchdown and maybe 2 passing touchdowns. I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm just saying at 6,900 on DK, I like him for a tournament play because I know the ownership's going to be low. But overall, you know, he's probably going to get the X button for me. I don't feel like I need him today. I've got two cheap quarterbacks that I'm going to be hammering to get in that I think have, you know, more upside because of the matchup.
Well, Cardi, I mean, if you don't, is Kyler just the only play? Is it just, I mean, is there anybody else that's popping up in the Blitz optimals? I mean, does the Blitz have any Dak? Does it have any Russell? Like, let's say that I was going to pull the Blitz projections into lineup HQ and I was going to set a rule that I didn't want any more than, you know, 40% Kyler. Who would it be giving me? Who would it be giving me? Who else does it like?
Yeah, so I mean, you'd have to set the limit to not get a whole bunch of Kyler, but you'd be getting some Russell. You'd be getting some Matthew Stafford for sure because the game script is good there. It's in the dome. You know, the game is going to be paced up because Arizona is so fast. You'd be getting some Mitchell Trubisky as probably like one of the cheap guys because he's going into a dome against this really bad Atlanta defense.
They're so bad.
So Trubisky, I really like in GPPs, like stacking him with Allen Robinson and running it back.
Stop it. You're taking all my GPP takes.
Sorry. but yeah, I mean, I love that running back with Gurley or Ridley, especially if Julio's out. I think he's fantastic. You probably get a little bit of Carson Wentz too. And especially with Jalen Reagor out, that target tree is going to be a little bit more condensed. So I think stacking him with one or two of Ertz, Goddard, and Jackson, you know, would make sense. And he's well enough priced just on his own.
What do you guys think about, like, as I move down here, it's like I'm looking at some – I don't want to get out of this top tier, though, without asking Chief about his boy Cam. I mean, Cam's been awesome. And I noticed that I also noticed that the Patriots' defense is kind of cheap this week. They seem a little bit too cheap. I mean, it feels like – Bill Belichick's going to be able to scheme some things up against – I mean, talk about some paper tigers that these Raiders are at 2-0. You feel like Bill Belichick's probably going to bring the heat against these guys, maybe give Cam Newton some short fields, and he does seem like their goal line back. Are you playing Cam at all this week? Is he in your tournament pool, Chief?
Yeah, Cam is my number two quarterback from the 1 o'clock games. And I know that sounds weird, but for me this week, just to kind of keep myself honest, I kind of said, I know I want more quarterbacks from 4 o'clock. Who are the guys I like at 1 o'clock? And that's pretty much how I've been approaching this slate, almost as if they're two different slates combined. So Cam is my number two quarterback from the 1 o'clock games, and I'm only going to play two quarterbacks from the 1 o'clock games. He's my number two guy. Definitely a guy I like. You know, he's had, I think, 13 and 15 rushing attempts. Yeah. I think that's going to be somewhat of a staple for their offense. And he's not just going to, you know, they're not necessarily scheming him up too much in the open field. They're really scheming him up more so in the goal line. So, you know, in the open field, you'll get some of those big home run runs. If he gets into any type of trouble, what I was impressed more about when I saw him play against Seattle was his accuracy was pretty good last week, even on some of his downfield throws. So if he can do that against the Raiders, which he should be able to, I think we'll get another, you know, 25-point performance from Cam. I'm not relying on touchdowns at the goal line every week. I know that's not sustainable. But if the rushing attempts are there, I at least know we've got a floor of, let's say, 40 yards rushing with him, which should help him, you know, keep him in the conversation.
Well, so you said earlier, Chief, that you had two cheap guys you were looking at. One of them was Justin Herbert. Have you already mentioned the other? Is it Trubisky?
Oh, it's definitely Trubisky. You're going to see a theme on this show as long as Atlanta's on the main slate. I have committed to playing every quarterback against Atlanta until they prove me wrong. I'm playing Trubisky hands down. He's my number one rated quarterback at 1 o'clock. Going to have massive exposure to him. We already know he has some rushing ability anyway. You throw that in with the fact that, you know, Atlanta's secondary has just been god awful against all these receivers. I mean, we saw what Dak was able to do last week. We saw what happened the week prior. I just think, you know, with Russell Wilson, I think it's a similar situation with Trubisky here. I think he's going to be able to push the ball downfield. I'm not going to talk about the other guys I like from that game because I want to keep us honest in terms of position by position. But I'm telling you right now, Trubisky is my number one ranked quarterback at 1 o'clock. He's my number two ranked quarterback overall behind Kyler Murray. That's how high I am on Mitchell Trubisky this week.
Are you splitting up these slates for your tournaments? Are you playing just the 1 p.m. or are you playing the 4 p.m.? Or are you just saying, like, I like my quarterbacks to have the hammer a little bit later, and so that's why you
– Yeah, I mean, and that's just kind of a this week thing. I don't do that typically. But like I said, when I opened up the slate and I saw so many quarterbacks at 4 o'clock, I know I can't play them all. So I kind of had to rank them and say, okay, who do I like at 1 o'clock? Who do I like at 4 o'clock? And that way, you know, I keep myself honest as I go through my progression.
Fair enough. We keep ourselves honest here as we go from position to position. You guys have anything else on quarterback? Otherwise, you forever hold your peace.
I got one really off the board one for you.
Let's hear it.
Not on his own, not naked, but Sam Darnold in a Jet stack.
Jesus.
And not because I like Sam Darnold, not because I like the Jets.
I haven't looked
because
at
everyone's yet, hurt. The target tree is so condensed and everyone is.
Are we going to do this again? Are we going to do this again? Go back to the God. Jet?
Are we going to do this again? Especially if they close the roof tomorrow, because then he's in a dome. Then you have, you know, like a bunch of 3K guys who are going to get 20% of the target share in good conditions, and they're free and you get everything else. Like it might not be necessary on this slate, but if you really want something completely off the board where you can just get all the good stuff with it, it's the Jets.
When are we going to learn that Adam Gase just sucks?
He's terrible. He's straight up terrible. He's going to try to run the ball as much as he can, even while they're down 3 touchdowns. But at some point, he's going to have to start throwing a little bit. And, I mean, they're what, like a 12-point underdog? Like, if he's not actually throwing the ball in the second half in this game, like, it's a problem. And maybe he won't, but on the chance that he does, that he's at least smart enough to think, you know what, we're down this much, we're going to throw at the prices. Like, I really think there is some value there.
Adam Gase can take a long-ass walk off a short-ass pier, for all I'm concerned, man. Just right off the side of it, just walk right down the plank. Let's move on to the running back position. And right at the very top, we have Ezekiel Elliott. Jimeno has him probably at somewhere around 21% owned, but I look, Cardi, let me just go right back to you, because I made my cash lineup back on Wednesday and I was like, oh, easy money. Maybe no one will catch on. But of course I'm putting in Miles Sanders. Of course I'm putting in Jonathan Taylor. And of course I'm putting in Kenyon Drake. And I just figured, I'm just like, look, man, that's it. I'll get in CeeDee Lamb. I'll do some of this other stuff. See about if there's a way I could fit in Kyler, pay down at tight end, boom, easy money. Now I get around to Saturday and it feels like that's the sort of the chalk build. Are those three running backs popping with you? Do you find that you can get them all three in?
Yeah. So those are definitely going to be, I think, the three chalkiest guys. That's going to be probably the most likely combination in cash games. I don't think they're the only guys you can play though. Like, they're obviously great plays. We can talk about them, but I think there's another three or four guys that you can legitimately consider cash plays. And it's just that a lot of the groupthink and the popular analysis out there is kind of centering on these three. But like Zeke is awesome this week. Zeke is going to be too low owned. Zeke is a borderline cash play. I'm not going to do it because I'll just go with the chalk because they're all kind of similar. But like Zeke is awesome this week. And I think people are maybe off him because they're the underdogs, but like they were playing from behind all last week. And they were still running the ball a lot. And Zeke is involved in the pass game a ton. And they're a super fast-paced offense. They're going to run a bunch of plays to help Zeke. And the touchdown equity is high for Zeke because he's like their only guy inside the 5-yard line. So, like, Zeke is awesome this week, especially on FanDuel. You pretty much play Zeke on FanDuel, I think. And on DraftKings, I'd definitely be heavier in GPPs. On the other side of that game, Chris Carson is a borderline cash option. Again, I'm not going to do it.
Really?
Okay. But, like, he's an amazing GPP play. I love Chris Carson because everyone's going to be on Russ. Everyone's talking about let Russ cook. And, again, there's more uncertainty with that than people want to believe. If they are up by a touchdown or 10 points, are they going to let Russ throw or are they going to go with what's comfortable with what they have always done, which is run the ball? And then Chris Carson's going to be running the ball. And Chris Carson's been a lot more involved in the pass game this year. There have been legitimate schemed looks for Chris Carson this year. And he's 6.6K in a great game script with a high team total, and nobody's talking about him. So I like Carson. And then the guy that I will almost certainly have in my cash build this week, I don't want to say 100% yet, but Devin Singletary. Yes, Sanders, Taylor, and Drake are great. Singletary is really cheap. with Zach Moss out, he's going to be the lead back there. He could wind up getting 80% of the carries and 15% of the targets easily here in a matchup where, you know, the Rams are probably more attackable on the ground. And so I could see the Bills kind of trying to run the ball in this game. And he's so cheap for being a lead back. So as much as I like the other guys, I will probably sacrifice one of them and go with Singletary. And I think Jared McKinnon is an option in GPPs at the very least.
I'm looking at the week three NFL DFS flex values based on Vegas player props tool that I make every Saturday morning over at rosterwatch.com, where I just go and I pull in all the props on all these different players and compare them versus their pricing on DraftKings and FanDuel. And on DraftKings, Devin Singletary is showing up as the third best value based on his prop out of the 90 props that I have in there so far, because he has a 62.5 rushing yard, a 2.5 reception prop, but this just juiced to all the hell on the over. So you figure that implies a three reception total and 19.5 receiving yard total, and he's minus 115 to score. He's actually one of only probably eight guys who are favorites to score at the running back position on this slate. So I agree with it about Singletary. If I were going to get away from one of those three that we talked about earlier for cash, I think he would be somebody that I would consider. Of course, Chief, you're going to go off the board with some of the running backs that you like, I'm sure. But what do you think about Zeke? What do you think about what do you think about those three that, you know, those three original kind of get cash game plays that I talked about? I feel like Miles Sanders probably going to be the most popular of them all.
He's the one that definitely feels the safest, like the best value. Like, I think you can poke a couple of holes in Taylor and in Drake especially. But there's really no holes to poke in Sanders.
Right. What are the holes in Jonathan Taylor? Just out of curiosity.
Go ahead. You want to take it?
Let me plug this in, because Cardi, you know, this is something we talked about last week. If we take a touchdown away from Jonathan Taylor last week, he's still okay. He's not great. And one of the things I talked about was I felt like he would only be on the field about 60% of the time. Well, I think it was 66%, if I'm not mistaken. And I don't see that changing this week. I know he got in the end zone. And it's not like I never felt like he was a bad play. The price was fine last week. Price is coming up, which if he's only going to be on the field 60% of the time, I'm just not as enthused. I'm going full fade on Jonathan Taylor this week, even against the Jets. But that's just because of the 66% market share and the ownership. It's nothing more than that. I don't feel like he's terrible. It's just for a guy that's only going to be out there 60% of the time, priced up, everybody's on him, automatic fade.
Yeah, that's one of my big concerns, is that he didn't actually play as much as I think people are making him out to have played. Naheem Hines didn't get a single carry, and normally he's going to get, you know, 10 or 15% of them. So if they work him in a little bit more, that concerns.
Why are they going to play Naheem Hines versus the Jets? They're going to beat these idiots by 25 points.
Well, and then that's my other thing. If they beat these idiots by 25 points, are they going to pound Taylor to run out the clock, or are they going to work in some Jordan Wilkins to save Taylor?
I could certainly see that. I think that's more likely than seeing much of Hines in some sort of run from behind game script. So yeah, I mean, Wilkins, how tilting would that be, seeing Jordan Wilkins dive in for a touchdown of 21 points? well, look, man, if you want to get off Taylor, here's what about – I want to ask Chief about these two. What about – I was making some tournament lineups earlier and just saying, like, you know what, I can't keep putting these cash lineups in tournaments. It just doesn't work. And I was saying, well, let me get some lineups with Derrick Henry, and let me get some lineups with James Conner. What do you think about those two guys?
Not as high on Connor. I'm definitely going back to the well on Derrick Henry. His ownership is still going to be reasonable. I think he's going to be around 20%. That's a lot lower than what, you know, we were thinking last week. And look, when Derrick Henry doesn't get into the end zone, it's not going to spell good for you. But one of the things we know he's going to do, he's going to get the touches. 70. What's the price on him? 7,800 this week. I feel like that's very reasonable for what he's going to do. Matter of fact, we've got him projected at 9.5% on Derrick Henry this week. Like, this is the time to take your shot. Like, this is the week. Go ahead and get him in against the Vikings.
And
see what happens. I mean, I think this is Derrick Henry week. I'm not hitting the lock button, But I've been playing fantasy long enough to know that, you know, the week you hop off the good running back, you get mad and everybody's on Twitter with the, you know, with the flames and putting the money into the furnace. Like, you know, I plan on having massive exposure to Derrick Henry. And while we're on that, Zeke is still number one for me. I know he's 9K, you know, until Zeke, you know, proves me otherwise, full steam ahead with Zeke. He's my number one on the board for tournaments this week, period.
I'm surprised that Zeke looks to be so heavily owned, just because it figures that people would be so interested in playing the passing games there in that game with Dallas and with Seattle. But maybe what Jamino's figuring is that maybe they're stacking Russell Wilson and DK Metcalf or something like that. And that maybe they bring it back with – maybe more people are bringing it back with Zeke than maybe bringing it back with one of these wide receivers. As we continue sort of moving down here, I mean, we haven't mentioned Dalvin. Or I mean, you guys just stop me if there's one of these dudes who you're just super interested in. I like James Conner. I think Houston sucks. I think Benny Snell fumbled last week. I think that the Pittsburgh defense is going to absolutely murder this. Like, I can't believe how much the Texans were talking about how their offensive line has improved. So that offensive line still just sucks. And Deshaun Watson just takes sacks. So I like paying up for the Pittsburgh defense. I'm not sure many people do it. And pairing him with James Conner. We've talked a little bit about Chris Carson. Austin Eckler, we haven't talked a lot about, but he's coming in. He's going to be taking on your Panthers that are coming to town. Chief, I mean, there's going to be some people who play Austin Eckler, but it looks like we have him at, what, 5% ownership?
Yeah,
Joshua Kelly is going to be what? Something like his backup, Joshua.
Seven.
Kurt, his 1B we're looking at.
Got him projected like 7.5 right now.
Oh, okay. Well, wow. Maybe I need more Joshua Kelly.
Well, look, I mean, you know, the secret's kind of been out that the Carolina run defense has been terrible and guys have been scoring on them. And then they look and see what Fournette did, and then they look and see what Josh Jacobs did the week before. And, you know, initially when I started the week, I thought that Eckler was going to be a lot higher owned. But listen, Eckler is nothing but Jonathan Taylor with a little bit more name brand because he's been around. Like, he's not on the field, you know, as much as these workhorse backs. I'm more willing to invest in workhorse backs than I am guys that are, you know, only on the field 60-70% of the time. So it's not like I don't like Eckler. But if I'm going to play Eckler, Eckler is not a situation where I would play him and maybe the wide receivers together. That's just kind of me. Even I know we're used to him catching passes. Look at his target share for the year. The targets aren't there right now like they were with Phillip Rivers. So I'm more inclined to not play Eklund and target the passing game a little bit more in that game.
Well, if you look at it for the year, though, that's one Tyrod Taylor game and one Herbert game. So I tend to wait what happened with Herbert a little bit more. But, I mean, I worry about Joshua Kelly, too. And the better news now is it looks like Justin Jackson's doubtful. I can't believe it. This run defense is going to get it. Am I seeing – so K'Wan Short is now doubtful? I mean, I need more Joshua Kelly. Cardi, what do you think, man? Do you think there's anybody here in this sort of tier that we're just talking about? Chris, you mentioned Chris Carson. Miles Sanders, you kind of think's a lock. And as we continue to look down here, Kenyon Drake, you know, you mentioned what – I mean, you said that there's ways to get off him, but do you want to get off him? Do you just want to get off him because you want to play Kyler and Hopkins and it doesn't feel like a good correlation? What's the calculus there for you?
Yeah, I mean, really, it's because I think you have these like four like really great cash game running backs. It's the three chalk ones. It's Taylor, it's Drake, it's Sanders, and it's Singletary. And you can only play three of them. So you have to poke holes a little bit, and you have to figure out which builds just kind of make stuff work a little bit better.
Right.
So, I mean, I think you can get off Taylor. I think you can get off Drake. My biggest issue with Drake is what's his involvement in the passing game actually going to be? Because he hasn't been that involved this year. He's got like 5 or 6% of the targets both weeks. Chase Edmonds has been running, you know, like so Drake has gotten like basically double the snaps of Edmonds, but he's only run like 25% more pass routes and he's gotten half of the targets. And so that should correct itself to an extent, but like, is Drake really going to be a guy that is heavily involved in the passing game, especially now that they have Hopkins eating up a bunch of targets and everything else? And it's a team that likes to pass the ball a lot to begin with. Like I said, it's the most pass-heavy offense in football. And, yeah, it's a good game script for running this week, so he'll be a little bit more involved in that way. and there's plenty of touchdown equity. But if he doesn't bounce back in terms of the target share, we have these guys, Singletary, Sanders, Taylor, that we pretty much know with much more certainty are in that 10 to 15% target share range. And I don't think we have that same certainty with Drake. So I think that's the one hole you can poke with him.
Drake, I will mention, Drake has that same 2.5 reception over under with a lot of juice on the over. And one of the top guys popping here in my Vegas tool as well over at rosterwatch.com, he has a 77.5 rushing yard prop and a 17.5 receiving yard prop, minus 185 to score this week. So it feels like maybe the books think it's going to be a get right spot for him. Overall, if you look at it, the seventh best value on the slate out of the 92 players that I've pulled in. So, man, and he's 6K compared to JT. Yeah.
And I'm not trying to say he's a bad play by any means. Like, I really like Kenny Drake this week. I'm just saying there's a lot of good plays, and so we kind of need to think about this critically. And, like,
Well, so, Cardi, let's just stick with you because you said you mentioned when we first came in, so you think there's four kind of very good sort of lockish kind of cash plays. But when we first came in, you mentioned maybe there was something more like 5 to 7. Which guys have we not talked about? Are these more kind of the some cheapies that you have in mind? Is it the Mike Davises of the world or guys like what is it?
Yeah, the other guys would be like Zeke, Carson, and McKinnon. Who we really didn't talk about. At the start of the week, I was thinking McKinnon can wind up being chalky, and he's not going to be. But I do like McKinnon. I think there are definite holes to poke in him. How much work is he going to get on the ground, especially on this MetLife surface that just keeps injuring everybody for a guy that's coming off a knee injury? I think that's the biggest thing with McKinnon. But especially with Kittle out, he's going to be involved in the pass game. You know, their top two backs are out. It's basically just him and Jeff Wilson and – I forget his name, some undrafted free agent that probably won't see the field much. So, like,
Jermichael Hasty, did they call him up?
Yeah. But they'll have Juszczyk on the field as well. They're going to have a lot more fullback. I get not that he's going to be involved, but he's going to be soaking up snap counts for sure.
Yeah, he'll be on the field. They don't use him to rush too much historically, at least. I mean, maybe that changes. But so I do like McKinnon, and he's very cheap. And especially in GPPs with all these good running back plays, I don't know if he's going to wind up being super popular. So I do like him, especially if they do wind up giving him more of the groundwork than we can safely project.
Let me hop in here too for a minute, Alex, because I think Cardi hopping on McKinnon kind of leads me to, I'm not sure if we were headed there, but since we're there, I want to hop in here. There's this group of cheap running backs, right, on this slate. And you already talked about one in Singletary. McKinnon, you know, was another one. Then you got Deion Lewis, who was another one. Mike Davis was another one. Montgomery from Chicago was another one. Like, you've got this group, and then trying to look and say, okay, you know, who is it going to be more advantageous to play? I don't want to play all these guys, but one or two of these guys could have, you know, slate-winning performances. And at those prices, if any of them get 20 points, we're running to the bank. So – I think out of this group, you know, McKinnon's there. I really like David Montgomery this week. You know, I'm going to keep targeting Atlanta. Nothing's going to change. And, you know, Montgomery isn't a guy that's on the field. He is still splitting with Tariq Cohen, which shocked me a little bit more than I wanted it to. But bottom line, you know, I think Montgomery's up there in that group as well with your McKinnon, with your Mike Davis, you know, with your Deion Lewis's. I think that group, you know, you've kind of make some tough calls there.
What about Rex Burkhead? Since
James White
got ruled out. I mean, he got 6 targets last week. Maybe.
Yeah. Yep. Last week without White, he got like 40% of the carries and like I think 17% of the targets.
Yeah, I think it was 6 targets or something like that. Yeah.
For 4K, that's a nice workload, especially against, you know, a Raiders D that's really not very imposing. If he had into the end zone with that usage, like he's a smash at that price.
I can't get either of you guys onto James Conner, can I? I'm not going to be able to
do it. I'm not playing Conner this week. Cardi? X button. Not that he's a bad play either. I'm not doing it.
Yeah, there's just too much to like this week. He's just not in the same tier as the other guys for me.
Fair enough. Is there anybody that you guys really love who we haven't gotten to? You know, looks like Philip Lindsay's out, so Melvin Gordon's going to get a bad matchup all to himself once again, but he actually did okay. In a bad matchup last week. He's super, super cheap. I mean, is anything? I think we've hit on most of the good plays and even most of some of the off-the-wall plays.
Yeah, I think we pretty thoroughly covered running back.
On to wide receiver. And boys, at the very top here, we have DeAndre Hopkins. Cardi, what is the Blitz doing about DeAndre Hopkins? Is it auto-stacking him with all the
It's telling you to play DeAndre Hopkins. Hopkins was the top guy in the Blitz last week ahead of Chalk Davante Adams.
We told you about here on the show.
Which we did tell you about. He's the clear top guy this week. He projects higher than the next guy by like 3 or 4 points. For all the reasons I like Kyler. Super pass heavy offense, super fast paced offense, at home, in the dome. The concerns that we had about Hopkins coming into the year that maybe the Cardinals would spread the ball out, more, and he wouldn't get that same big target share. That hasn't happened the past 2 weeks. He's had a 30% plus target share. He's not overly expensive. You're definitely playing Hopkins in cash this week. There's no way not to.
Are you as into Hopkins, Chief?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, there are certain weeks where, like I said, cash and tournaments are kind of going to work hand in hand at the top. And then maybe we start differentiating it, in the middle of the pack and some of these cheaper guys. But I mean, I think at the top, Hopkins is your guy for sure. I mean, short hands, short target share, high total game, bad defense. It's the perfect scenario. It's the perfect storm.
For a cash game stooge like me, Chief, that's just trying to learn how to be a better tournament player. Because in cash games, I legit don't care if I stack these guys. If in a tournament, if I play Hopkins, do I have to play Kyler, or can I play Hopkins?
Well, no, you don't have to, but I wouldn't recommend it. If I'm playing tournaments, if I'm playing Kyler Murray, I'm probably playing Hopkins. I'm playing Kyler Murray.
Okay.
So that's interesting. If you play Kyler, I definitely see playing Hopkins. But like, let's say you have a different stack, you have some cheap stack, that's going to be prolonged.
That's kind of what I'm thinking.
You can afford the best plays, and you can afford chalky plays because your stack is so low owned. Why wouldn't you play Hopkins there because he's the best play?
Well, so good question. For me, a lot of times in tournaments, if I'm not going to play Hopkins, I'm going to go off the board and maybe spend up somewhere. Like, so for instance, I am going to have some cheap stacks, and in those cheap stacks, I'm probably going Zeke and Derrick Henry. I'm probably going to just stack running back and get away from all of the completely chalky wide receiver builds. Because guess what? Everybody in tournaments is going to do that. They're going to stack a quarterback with this wide receiver, and then they're going to throw Hopkins in there, and then they're going to, kind of run with it and get some of these cheap running backs. If I go Zeke and I go Henry, which is probably what I'm going to do in tournaments, full disclosure, and then I get me a little bit of Trubisky and I get me a little bit of Robinson – and I get me a little bit of Russell Gage on the other side, who I'll talk about later, then I'm probably going to spend up at running back and tight end. So now my build in tournaments is just completely different than what everybody's expecting. And that's kind of why if I'm playing Hopkins, I'm playing Murray. If I'm playing Murray, I'm playing Hopkins. I don't feel like I have to play Hopkins. Even though I do still feel like he's the number one wide receiver. It's just getting a different build in tournaments.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought. It just naturally feels like if you're in a tournament, you kind of just want to go for the whole enchilada. You want to get all the points. You want to double up all those points that DeAndre Hopkins scores. So, all right. Well, thank you for that answer. As we go down here, look, I mean, Julio Jones is questionable. I'm debating whether even to play him in some of my high stakes season long leagues. So that means there's no way in hell I'm playing him in DFS. He is just too. He's just too good a decoy. He's one of the – him and Alshon Jeffrey are the two best decoys in the league whenever they're hurt. what about Calvin Ridley, though, his teammate? We talked about Allen Robinson a little bit earlier, and I know Chief's probably going to talk about him, but, outside of A.J. Green, the most fantasy points under expectation so far on the entire season for Allen Robinson, Calvin Ridley's the guy with the most most fantasy points over expectation. He's a guy that's really overperformed in the touchdown scoring department and stuff. Stephon Diggs is right here underneath him. I don't know if Chief's going back to him or not. He sure looks, I mean, what a call last week with him. Adam Thielen, sneakily, dude. I mean, this game, the Tennessee-Minnesota game has an almost 50-point total. No one's talking. Chief, why is that not of interest to more people who are tournament players who want to play these guys? Nobody else is going to play in a high total game.
Well, I just think it's two teams that seem like they play uninspiring football. You know, they're not the splashy looking team. You know, they don't have a Russ can cook slogan. You know, they're not Atlanta throwing it around in the dome. You know what you're going to get for the most part with Tennessee, a heavy dose of Derrick Henry, some play action. And, you know, Tannehill's been slinging the ball around, but he's still not, you know, he's not Kyler Murray. He's not going to throw it, you know, close to 40 times. We'll get to a guy that, you know, a game where I think a guy's going to be throwing it around a lot. But I think that's why, you know, you got, you know, Kirk Cousins, who, you know, I always feel like just can't get it done in the playoffs enough. You know, the Vikings are pretty rough this season to start. And, you know, two guys where you kind of have bell cow backs, you know, they're going to be giving them the ball. I just think people just don't like it. They don't like the way the game looks. You know, they don't like how they feel like the game script is going to go. And for that reason, I think, you know, people are just off of them.
Cardi, you know that I don't look at the Blitz before the show. I always like to be surprised by your answers and kind of find out here just live and in real time what it is you're thinking. But as we've gone through the show so far, I've kind of started putting together a cash lineup, sort of what I think the Blitz might do. And as I'm doing it, I'm beginning to realize that you're probably not going to have any wide receivers in this tier besides DeAndre Hopkins. I think the next wide receiver that is going to pop in blitz optimals might even be down to like maybe a CeeDee Lamb or something like that. Is that kind of what we're looking at, or how's it going to work?
Yeah. So it's a little mixed. Like, you definitely want Hopkins. I do think it's possible, especially if you go Singletary, especially if you go cheap tight end. It's possible to get one of these mid-tier guys. I'm not going all the way up to a Ridley or a Thielen, because I think guys like Tyler Lockett and Allen Robinson are basically mm-hmm. the same plays as them for cheaper.
You like A-Rob this week?
Oh, I love A-Rob this
week. Great, man. So we all love A-Rob. And he's only going to be 8%.
He's going to be way too low owned. He plays for the Bears, and people don't want to play someone who plays for the Bears. Can't be better here. Like, the Bears are an underdog, so they're going to be throwing. They're in a dome, which we know the Blitz loves. They're against mm-hmm. a really bad opposing defense. And Allen Robinson has the highest target share, both in terms of projected target share and historical target share, of anybody on the slate aside from DeAndre Hopkins. Like, he has the safest volume of anyone on the slate besides DeAndre Hopkins. And you can even make the case that his is safer because Hopkins has only played two games with the Cardinals thus far. Like, Robinson is in such a good spot, and people are overlooking him because he's a Bear.
Oh, man, I got to get in on this action, Cardi. If I could hold up my notebook, I told you guys I got a notebook. Allen Robinson is at the top of my list with a star. Number one wide receiver that's grading out for me in tournaments this week in terms of price, ownership, matchup. Like, number one. I would almost lock button Robinson the way I wanted to do Stephon Diggs last week. It's just, like you said, it's nowhere. I don't see how Allen Robinson – is projected to be lower owned than DK Metcalf and the other guy from Seattle, Tyler Lockett.
Tyler Lockett.
I don't understand that they're both on the same team and they both are in the 20s, and we've got Robinson here down here at 10%. Now, I am going to go against Cardi a little bit on this one. Because I'm so heavily invested in this game, I am going to have a fair amount of Calvin Ridley. Because this is the game I'm going to stack up yet again. I'm going to probably stack every Atlanta game from now through the end of the season if they continue to play this bad. And I know this guy's a little bit cheaper, but while we're on this game, I did want to highlight Russell Gage, especially if Julio is questionable and he's going to be a decoy. We saw Russell Gage is at a 75% snap share on the season. Snap share, 69% week one, 81% week two. I think they're going to have to continue to throw the ball to win. And if you look at his target share, you know, he's right up there with the rest of these guys. Now, Russell Gage has a 23% target share on the season. Do I think a lot of that is contributing to Julio having an injury? Absolutely. But it still doesn't take away the fact that Russell Gage had 12 targets in week one, 9 targets in week two. I'm expecting a similar thing, and he's not going to have any ownership. Russell Gage is another guy, one of my cheap guys. I'm going to have massive exposure to in tournaments, especially on the other side with my Trubisky Robinson stats. It has to happen. Wanted to highlight him because these numbers really jumped off the page for me this week.
Cardi, we sort of flew through the mid-range there. Just a couple guys I'd like to circle back on and just kind of see what the Blitz thinks. How does it make nuts and bolts of whatever the hell is going on between Deontay Johnson and Juju Smith-Schuster? How do you have those guys projecting? Do you take into account that Deontay looks like he'll probably have the tougher matchup this week, a matchup that is, you know, giving trouble to got good players like Marquise Brown and fast players, Marquise Brown and Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, sorry, I'm distracted by the guy in the chat who says, I don't watch football. I've clearly never seen the Bears play, and I don't care. Like, well, obviously I watch football. Obviously I've seen the Bears play. I don't care that the Bears are a bad offense, because it's about more than whether you think an offense is good or bad. So we've seen Trubisky in domes before. I've watched him in domes when I rostered him week one, Thanksgiving last year. He's not as bad as you think, guys, in these spots.
Literally, all I watch 365 days a year is goddamn.
And Robinson's the guy. Like
Allen Robinson's an awesome player, and he's a great play this week. What about Juju versus Deontay?
Yeah, I mean, Juju's too expensive. I'm definitely not playing Juju. Deontay is still pretty cheap. The Blitz liked him a lot last week. It likes him a decent amount this week. You know, he's been, you know, even though Juju is like the flashier name there, Deontay's been the one getting more of the targets. He's gotten 30%+ of the targets this year, and that is probably going to come down, but they do like him. Ben came out and said yesterday, he's like, you know, I want to focus this week on building my rapport with Deontay Johnson. It's like, dude, you've already thrown the ball 30% of the time. You're gonna throw it to him more now? Like, I mean, just from a narrative perspective, which I don't like narratives, like that has to pique your interest a little bit. And he's 5,400. I don't think I'm going to be able to get there, because I would rather just pay the extra 800 for Robinson or 1,000 for Lockett. But I do like Johnson. And if there's a way to make him work as my third wide receiver, which I don't know if there is, I do like him.
CeeDee Lamb or Deontay Johnson for the Blitz this week at
5,400. It likes Johnson a little more than Lamb, I think.
Okay. I think we'll talk about Lamb after a while. I love Lamb, just an incredible matchup for him. He's playing like 85% of his, I don't have the exact number pulled. I thought I looked at it earlier. I had it pulled. I think it was like 89% of his snaps out of the slot, where these guys have just been absolutely getting murdered this year. What about just Marvin Jones? Since you guys like that game, I like that game out in the desert in the dome. Do you guys any interest in Marvin Jones now that Kenny Galladay's back? There's a weird part of me that sort of thinks that with Galladay back and Galladay saying that he's not going to be 100%, maybe Galladay draws some attention away from Jones, and maybe Jones can get off this week once people are all off of him. Any interest there?
I'm curious, because I like it in theory. Like, I like it as a stack, because the game's going to be paced up, because it is in the dome, because it is good game script, and because Jones and Galladay are clearly going to be the two guys at the top of the target tree. Is that game going to be popular? Like, do we think people are going to stack that because everyone sees the high total, because, you know, they're going to say, you know what, I don't want to play chalky Arizona, I'm just going to stack the other side of that game? Because if it's not super popular, I like it. But if it gets too popular, then, you know, I prefer something like maybe the Bears or some of the other ones we'll talk about.
What do you think, Chief? Jumino doesn't seem – I mean, he has Marvin Jones at 5%. And you know what? We haven't even talked about our golden son, Terry McLaurin, that's right there next to him. Like, if I had the extra $100, I think I would move up to McLaurin over Marvin Jones. What do you think about playing Marvin in this spot? What do you think about McLaurin or anybody else in that? And that sort of
thing. I mean, look, man, football has kind of shown us that even though we don't have to go full game stack, one of these receivers is going to have a good day.
We are back. Sorry for those technical difficulties, but we should be back on the rails now. As Chief was talking about the Detroit at Arizona game, the passing games there, specifically Marvin Jones. Chief, take it away, brother.
Yeah, man, I think, you know, if we're going to be stacking, you know, a lot of Murray to Hopkins, I definitely think we want to get someone on the other side. You know, Galladay, Jones, Amendola, these guys, I think that's the way to go. Maybe you throw in some TJ Hockenson as well. But I think that's the way to go, especially when you're looking at the ownership projections for the passing game for Detroit. It's astronomically low. I didn't expect anybody to be that low, but I mean, you got Jones projected at 5, Hockenson projected at 2.3, Galladay projected at 1 because of, you know, the possibility of an injury. And you've got Hopkins at 31 and Murray at 18. This could easily win you a tournament just with, you know, having a chalky Murray and Hopkins and right. running a little bit of Marvin Jones on the other side could win you a tournament easily. Boom, just like that. So because, I really like
because it's the right thing to do. It's like it's the smart it's
absolutely
thing to
the
do,
right thing to do.
And it's also going to be low owned. So yes. it's like, well, hey, why not? I know you wanted to talk about Tyler Boyd. Let's hear it, Chief.
Yeah, listen, man. So Tyler Boyd, if you look at the overall numbers just in a blanket, you're going to see that his target share isn't where, you know, we would like for it to be, only at about 13% on the season. But as we progress, one of the things I see from Tyler Boyd, he's on the field a lot more than A.J. Green by about 10% as of right now. 14% of the season. A.J. Green is on the field 71% of the time. Tyler Boyd, 85%. Tyler Boyd's running routes about 100% of the time. They're going to start getting this guy the ball, I think, a little bit more in space, out of the slot, outside. I think they'll get creative to find ways to get him the ball. No better week to start than against the lowly Philadelphia Eagles on the road, where they're probably going to have to throw a little bit more. Joe Mixon's been uninspiring. Joe Burrow's been throwing the ball so much. 36 times week one, 61 times week two. I think he's going to be around that this week. Tyler Boyd is a sneaky play for me this week in tournaments, a guy that's not going to get any ownership, but is really on the field most of the time for this offense.
Cardi, I'm just like I said, as I'm going through this, I kind of try to put together a lineup with some of the guys. I know the Blitz is probably going to put in the optimal. I've been going through it. I said, how the hell is Cardi going to fit in, you know, JT and Miles Sanders, and, you know, and if he wants Kyler and he wants DeAndre Hopkins and he thinks he could pay up for an Allen Robinson, you know, even if I pay down at defense, even if I pay down at tight end, something like that, how's he going to make it work? There's been enough money left to make it work.
Yeah,
let me go jump off a bridge real quick because I think I know what you're about to say about how you're going to make this work.
I think you're going to get it. So what's the guess?
Hogan.
Hogan's definitely one way to make it work. You have to pay down at your third wide receiver spot, and Hogan is a guy you can do it with. It's not pretty. It's not fun. Nobody wants to play the Jets. Nobody wants to play Chris Hogan. Crowder and Perryman are out. They're like almost two touchdown underdogs. So unless Gase is just legitimately the worst coach in history, they're going to have to throw to a certain extent this week. They're in a dome potentially, unless they open the roof like they did last week. And Hogan last week got 30% of the targets. And he's got like 15 or 16 DraftKings points at 3,700. If he does that again or anything close to it, that's a smash. And so I think Hogan is viable. I think Braxton Berrios is viable. I think Josh Maloney is viable. And it's not fun. It's not pretty. But, you know, if these guys get you 10 points for the price, that's probably enough. And I do think there's other cheap guys you can do. Like Adam Humphries is 3,900. And A.J. Brown is out again. Humphries has been getting like 20% of the targets with Brown out. So Humphries is really interesting in a high total game that we talked about before. Like, this is definitely the cheap way to get, you know, one of the heavier pieces of one of these offenses. And then there's KJ Hamler, who's 3K. And he's really interesting with
rather play Hamler out. I can't believe, dude, I didn't even know that Josh Malone plays on the Jets now. When was he signed? Was he signed this week?
They brought him up from the practice squad last week, maybe, or something, because like they just have nobody. They have no bodies. And
Braxton Berrios is injured.
They have to throw to somebody.
Hogan's been injured all week. Gase is terrible. I mean, I'll tell you what, it's mouthwatering to see what you can do if you can pay down for like a Hamler. Hamler's 3K, and Hamler is a legit prospect. That's a legit player. That's a good player. It's so much is unknown with him and with Jeff Driskel and everything else with that offense.
That's the issue with him, is that there is so much unknowns with the offense, with Driskel now, you know, with Sutton out, like who is going to get the targets? Who's going to get the targets in this spot? And the thing that's really kind of drawing me off him a little more is the wind there. It's looking like it's going to be like 20-mile-an-hour winds, which is not ideal for passing attacks, especially for a passing attack that without their starting quarterback will probably already be leaning on the run more to begin with.
And the fact that Hamler could be a sub 4.3 burner that you want to get downfield. You know, like that's how he's going to, you know, if he's going to break a play wide open, it's probably going to be on something deep. So that's good to know. Jesus, I can't believe it's, I can't believe it's even been put into my head that I might have to think about these guys in cash, but boy, the lineup you put together is better. It's definitely better. If those guys can get, I mean, if I could get 14 points out of Hogan, you know,
That is all you need, and that makes lots of other stuff work, and that is fantastic.
I think it stinks to high hell, man, to have to worry about depending on these Jets.
You can get away with 12 from Hogan this week easily.
I can take 12.
That's what I'm saying. He's too cheap.
If our guarantee, Christ, I'm already tilted, and the games are 24 hours from kicking off, boys. Is there anybody else you want to talk about at wide receiver? Do you guys want to fly through tight end?
I mean, we just talked about Chris Hogan and Josh Malone. Like, do we really have anyone else to possibly talk about?
No, let's move on to tight end. What are you guys doing? I don't know. At tight end this week, I've been finding myself putting in maybe Jordan Reed. I like putting in Drew Sample. And I like putting in Logan Thomas. I find myself paying down. I know that's probably different from what you're doing, Chief. You mentioned earlier that you've been paying up at tight end this week. I haven't been able to find any budget to do it. Maybe that has to do with Higbee being so much cheaper on FanDuel than he is on DraftKings, though. What is it that you're doing at the tight end spot?
Listen, man, number one tight end on the board for me this week, Hunter Henry. It's Hunter Henry week for me. I've talked about
these Chargers.
I'm telling you right now, I like the Chargers this week. Chargers and Bears, but Justin Herbert to Hunter Henry, I think it's a connection. And look, the numbers are there. It's not just because they're playing Carolina. Let's look at these numbers. Hunter Henry on the season has a 26% target share, 27% week one, 25% week two. Is on the field roughly 80% of the time. This is a guy that I really like. 8 targets, respectively, week one and week two. We're not getting that from some wide receivers. Hunter Henry, if I'm not mistaken, is 4,800 this week on DraftKings. Is that correct? I'm pretty sure I'm right about that. But at any rate, Hunter Henry grades out as the number one tight end for me in tournaments this week. We've got him projected at roughly 9.7%. I think that's right there with the best of them. You know, if you're looking at FanDuel ownership, and I'm trying to get to that. We've got him at 6.5% on FanDuel at 6K. No way I'm not playing Hunter Henry this week at tight end. Just no way. Number one tight end on the board for me.
All right. So a strong take there on Hunter Henry. Cardi, what is the Blitz doing? Is it paying down? I'm assuming it's paying down. It has to be paying down.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on the kind of build you're doing. If you're doing the build where you're playing a Hogan or a Humphreys or a Hamler, then you're probably, trying to pay up for a Robinson or a Lockett for 3 running backs for Kyler. And so going down at tight end is probably what you want to do. Logan Thomas is the tight end that I like going down to the most. He's gotten like 30% of these targets this year, and that's going to come down. But even if it only comes down to like 20%, that's still really good. This is an offense that we still do project to be on the pass side of the ball, to be somewhat fast-paced. It's a solid enough matchup. I think he's totally fine this week. It sounds like he's going to be fairly chalky. Not like I think he's a smash play, but I think he's a good enough play where you can certainly play him there. I think it's also possible to go up a little bit into that Henry range. I like Henry. I might like Ertz and Goddard a little bit more.
Is there one that you like better? They're almost the same price now. It's crazy.
Yeah, they're almost the same price. So I still think you have to lean Ertz, although his targets have definitely been down this year and Goddard's have been up. I think they're close. If you have the extra 200, you probably play Ertz, but it's basically a coin flip. It's a good matchup. It's projects to be a very fast-paced game here. And like we said, the target tree is pretty condensed. So I really like Ertz. I like Goddard. They're very talented tight ends. It's a team that likes the pass to begin with. So I like them quite a bit, and I really like them in a GPP setting, especially with Miles Sanders going to be so chalky. a little, even just a mini Eagles stack with Wentz and one of these guys, or Wentz and both of these guys, even, I don't hate, as leverage off of Sanders chalk, I think could be very sneaky this week.
And then Chief mentioned earlier, TJ Hawkinson. I love that play. I still have memories of him down in Arizona in week one of last season, like looking like he was going to be the next Gronkowski. So, you know, you remember that game. And then I don't think it's like 2.2% owned. That's crazy. And you know what? I'll also agree with Chief that our model over at Roster Watch for our DFS model had Hunter Henry as the top play as well on the slate. So if he's going to be 11.3% owned, is that one of the top ownerships? I mean, is he going to be pretty heavily owned? I guess. I mean, look at the others. Like none of these other Zachary, he's going to be probably about as, I guess. So the secret's a little bit out there with Hunter Henry, but still, it looks like it's going to be pretty evenly spread out as far as ownership at the tight end position. Those are the only ones that I can. Who else? Anybody else? I mean, Dalton Schultz. Can you go back to him in this game? I didn't hear either of you guys mention Jordan Reed. Jordan Reed has a 4.5 reception prop with heavy juice on the over. You know, everybody's hurt there. Any interest there? I mean, you got to get up to 4K to get to him.
Yeah, I mean, with Kittle out again, 4.5 sounds really high to me. I know the blitz is under that. But if we really think that he's going to be like the leading target guy there, then yeah, he's great at that price. I hate to say it, especially because everyone in chat is like, there's no way Chris Hogan even gets 8 points. But Chris Herndon, I think going back to Chris Herndon, maybe not in cash, because I think there's concerns in cash, but in GPPs, after people liked Herndon last week and he completely flopped, no one's going to want to play Herndon this week. The spot is just as good, if not better. It's better. And no one's going to have him. I think the biggest concern is that last week they kept him in the block a lot more than anyone expected them to, because Adam Gase just has no idea what he's doing as a football coach. But, I mean, this week they have two linemen out, and so he could be in the block again. But on the chance that he's out running more or he catches a touchdown or whatever – like 3,400 for Herndon at like 1 or 2% ownership potentially. I think he's totally, totally fine here. And people really, like, it's one of the biggest mistakes you see people make in DFS is they tend to overrate how good the good people are, and they tend to underrate how bad the bad people are. Like, yeah, yes, the Jets are bad. No one is complaining. No one is denying that the Jets are bad. But the Jets are still going to be expected to score at least 1 or 2 touchdowns here, because on average, that is what bad teams do. They're not going to score no touchdowns. They're not going to have no yards. And the ball has to go somewhere.
And it's the NFL. You know, who knows how any of this stuff ever, really goes. All right, boys, it's time for the Blitz survey. So why don't one of you guys start? How about Cardi? We'll start with you. Ask your question for Chief and I.
All right. So I guess the question – I have two questions. All right, the better one. So of these, let's say these three chalky running backs, Taylor, Sanders, Drake, I want to play Singletary. So I need to cut one of these guys loose. Which is the guy that would be out for you?
I would only say Drake, just because I would then say I'm going to play Kyler and DeAndre Hopkins, and I'm going to hope that he gets somehow scripted out of the game. Like, that would be my reasoning.
Yeah, same for me, man. I think it's going to be Drake. I don't think I can cut ties with Miles Sanders in cash at all. Just no way. So definitely be Drake for me.
Good. That makes me feel better, because Drake's the one that's out of my current build. So, and I feel bad about it because I really do like Drake, but that is the way I'm leaning.
Have you guys seen the props on the prop this week on Miles Sanders? It's just outrageous. 82.5 rushing yards, 3.5 receptions with juice on the over, and 27.5 receiving yards and -165 to score for 6,400. It's like, I mean, he has 110 total yard prop for 6,400, and he's -165. So, yeah, I can't get away from that in cash. But did you say you had two questions, or is that just going to be your question, and then we move on? Cardi, did you have another one?
Sorry, I get distracted by the chat.
Why do you listen to the trolls in the chat, man? All right, so let's just move on. Chief, what is your question for us?
Yeah, man, I think my question is, and I know this sounds crazy, but how do you guys feel about Kyler Murray in tournaments now if the ownership continues to creep up? Now, I'm going to give you my synopsis on it, but right now we got him close to 20%. As the day goes on and guys look at the early players from their games, how do you feel about guys thinking, you know, maybe I got to swap off of, you know, some of these Dak shares and get to Kyler Murray shares because now I'm behind the field? How high do you think he actually gets by the end of the day with us having him around 18% right now?
Might it be the opposite? It's good players that utilize late swap. It's good players. And if they're good players, they're going to know Kyler is set to be more highly owned than Dak or Russ. And so if I can find any extra cash to say, like, all right, I get off DeAndre Hopkins, I get off Kyler, I can pay down to Tyler Lockett, and that will give me the money to get up to Russell Wilson or something. I think that more people, if they're busting it early, they'll get off the Kyler D-hop stack and they'll go to Dak, Amari, Dak, you know, CD, Russ, DK, or Tyler Lockett, and they'll get off of that. I think ownership could go the other way, but I don't think it's a big – I'm not sure how many people late swap. I don't know what the numbers are on that. I have the impression that, I guess, depending on your buy-in level, as the buy-in levels go up, it probably goes up. But I'm not sure how many people do late swap to where that would really matter. But I think it would go the other way.
Yeah, I could certainly see the late swap kind of lowering it a little bit. But, I mean, I think he's clearly the best play, and I think a lot of people recognize that. And so I do think he'll get pretty high. I think if you're playing Kyler stacks, you want to probably find a way to make it different. Like Will said, bring it back with Marvin Jones. You know, maybe play Dan Arnold in the stack, or just like – or Andy Isabella with Christian Kirk out. Like, there's ways to make it not as chalky as everyone else's Kyler Hopkins stack is going to be. And that's not to say don't play Hopkins too, because he's great, but like find a way to make it different if you're going to do it, even if it's just around your stack with your one-offs, make them different.
Well, this isn't a very original one, boys, but let me just ask you, every week so far for the last 2 weeks, I've been able to identify a defense that I liked that's pretty cheap. This week I can't. I don't like any of them. The cheapest I've been able to find is the Eagles at 2,800. I believe they're 2,800. How much are
they? Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah, so they're 2,800. It looks, though, like they're going to be – geez. I mean, it looks like I'm not the only one that's made this discovery of this cheap defense. Jimeno has them at 16% ownership. Do you take into account defensive ownerships? I know in cash it doesn't matter. Chief, does it matter to you? And also, if there's a cheap defense that you can play this week besides the Eagles, which one is it?
I don't really take it into account too much. If, you know, I will say I think streaming cheap defenses against backup quarterbacks is always a good idea. And so while everybody's, you know, while we've been talking about the Colts against the Jets, Phillip Rivers is a turnover machine. I feel like the Jets are guaranteed at least one interception in this game. I mean, with Phillip Rivers just making a bad read downfield, I'm not saying they're not going to get scored on. But, man, what if they take one to the house at 2K? You know, and look, the Jets already have some ownership. But for me, I think it would be the Jets, and it would probably be the Giants against Nick Mullins. And we know that Nick Mullins has come in and done this before.
Right.
But like
right.
I said, just looking at, you know, backup quarterbacks, I don't mind taking defenses against them.
Backup quarterbacks traveling from the West Coast. For an early that is a noon game, isn't it? Yeah, for a noon game or a 1 p.m. Eastern game. Cardi, what about you, brother? Defense that I could just a lock defense that I can get for rock bottom prices.
Yeah, so I mean the Blitz is jamming in a lot of Eagles because they just seem like the best point per dollar. But I don't hate going cheaper because defense really doesn't matter. We'll mention the Jets. I think the Jets are fine, and I think the Texans are. They're like 2.1K. They're totally fine. You know. Steelers want to throw. There's a chance for a pick. There's chances for sacks there. So, I mean, I don't love the cheap defenses this week, but it's defense. So anyone like that's fine.
So we'll move on to the last segment here, four-man conviction. But first, we have to bequeath a cool quarterback on Derek Carty, who lost last week.
I think this is the first time I'm being saddled with a quarterback. So make it good.
He lost by one third of a point. I was the big loser until the very end. I think that Kyler took a knee.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, like. Cardi just said, did I really just lose in the DMs? I said, no, you didn't just lose. Like you, he'd overtaken me, you know, like 5-10 minutes earlier. And I look back and apparently he'd lost points somehow. So thankful for that. We're going to have to choose one for Cardi. I don't know. And each week we play a four man with our senior producer, Simon Edwards. I think Chief took it down last week, or was it Simon?
Nah, listen, Simon squeezed me out, man. I didn't get any really good tight end points there, and Simon took it down last week. I came in a lowly second.
So the big loser each week gets his quarterback picked for us, and I mean, I'll just nominate him since he's a guy that Cardi brought up anyway. What about Darnold? What about Darnold? Yeah. What about Darnold?
I figured if Sam Darnold to Chris Hogan stacks beat us this week, need to stop right now.
He's gonna have all the cash in the world left over. He's gonna
if
put
you
it
give
in
me Darnold, I will play Hogan with him, and I will get all of the expensive stuff around.
He'll get everything else. What do you think, Darnold? It has to be Darnold. He sort of half recommended Darnold a little.
Yeah, I'll play Darnold in the four. Okay. I will not play him in my other games. Okay. At least my cash.
So he is Derek Carty. You can find him again at Derek Carty on Twitter. You can find him here on Roto Grinders, MLB, NFL stuff. The Blitz package is available. With that package, you get not only the content from the model, but also different stuff from Carty all week. You know, Carty, you do a video chat or something like that. You put out special stuff for people who have the Blitz package, correct?
I do a long podcast every week talking about why the Blitz likes or dislikes certain guys, good chalk, bad chalk, you know, game pace stuff, like all kinds of stuff like that.
Okay. So, yeah, just it's all right there on the Roto Grinders homepage. Make sure and go check it out. Again, find him on Twitter at Derek Carty. Of course, we have the Chief Justice at Chief Justice 06 on Twitter, Will Priester. Find him across all the DFS streets and across all of the different sports here on Roto Grinders, basketball, baseball, football. I don't even – Chief, do you even do, like, video games and stuff? You haven't gotten into that, have you?
No esports.
Okay. My name's Alex Dunlap. No esports for me either. You can find me on Twitter at RosterWatch. You can hear me on SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio for game days, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern, kicking off a great slate of programming over there early morning. And, of course, the RosterWatch podcast, all my content over at rosterwatch.com. All right, boys, it's that glorious time of the week where we talk about our conviction plays that are our favorite plays on the slate and plays that we all but guarantee, barring any big news that changes lineup constructions, et cetera, that we will be using against one another in the four-man. I'm assuming we can move the four-man back to DraftKings this week, Chief?
We'll talk about it.
Okay. I'm going to keep my fingers crossed.
I'm playing Sam Darnold. We're playing on draft.
All right. Conviction plays, boys, and we will use DraftKings pricing for these.
Who's going first?
Oh, I'm sorry. Cardi, we start with you.
Yeah, it's tough because I don't know how my roster construction is going to work with Darnold and Hogan. Normally, I'd probably go with a guy like Singletary, easily Kyler and Hopkins. For sure, Kyler and Hopkins. But I'm going to say Allen Robinson. I think there's a good chance with the money with Darnold, I'll have Allen Robinson. And he's going to be way too low on this week. Like, he's such a good play.
Love it. Absolutely love it. What do you think, Chief?
Listen, man, you know my play. I'm guaranteeing you that my off-the-board play is going to be a conviction play every week. Weeks 2 through 16. This is week 3. This is a guy no one's probably expecting. I've talked about him already. He's going to be a household favorite of mine if he keeps pulling out this type of production. Russell Gage is guaranteed to be in my lineup this week from your Atlanta Falcons. Russell Gage, people.
All right. I was going to make my conviction play the grossest one yet, because I think I am going to play Larry Fitzgerald against you guys in cash. I think with Christian Kirk out, I think that it's just – It's the ultimate way to get leverage against you guys that I know we're going to be playing Hopkins. And just a big prop this week. If you go look at his props, man, they have him at 5.5 receptions with juice on the over. So could be a Larry Legend week. But for me, I mean, the guy I have the most conviction on this whole slate is Miles Sanders. He's going to beast. I'm not sure there's going to be a single lineup I have in tournaments or in cash that doesn't include him for better or for worse. So for the Chief Justice, Will Priester, for Derek Carty, I am Alex Dunlap. It's been the Blitz week 3. We're getting the hell out of here.